Section 2. Second Stage. Function of Productive Capital. The circuit of capital, which we have here considered, begins with the act of circulation, money to commodity, the transmutation of money into commodities, purchase. Circulation must therefore be complemented by the antithetical metamorphosis, commodity to money, the transformation of commodities into money, or sale. But the direct result of money to commodity is the interruption of the circulation of the capital value advanced in the form of money. By the transformation of money capital into productive capital, the capital value has acquired a bodily form in which it cannot continue to circulate, but must enter into consumption, viz., into productive consumption. The use of labour power, labour, can be materialized only in the labour process. The capitalist cannot resell the labourer as a commodity because he is not his chattel slave, and the capitalist has not bought anything except the right to use his labour power for a certain time. On the other hand, the capitalist cannot use this labour power in any other way than by utilizing means of production to create commodities with its help. The result of the first stage is therefore entrance into the second, the productive stage of capital. This movement is represented by money to commodity through productive capital, in which the through indicates that the circulation of capital is interrupted, while its circular movement continues, since it passes from the sphere of circulation of commodities into that of production. The first stage, the transformation of money capital into productive capital, is therefore merely the harbinger and introductory phase of the second stage, the functioning of productive capital. Money to commodity presupposes that the individual performing this act not only has at his disposal values in any use form, but also that he has them in the form of money, that he is the owner of money. But as the act consists precisely in giving away money, the individual can remain the owner of money only in so far as the act of giving away implies a return of money. But money can return to him only through the sale of commodities. Hence, the act assumes him to be a producer of commodities. Money to labour power. The wage labourer lives only by the sale of his labour power. Its preservation, his preservation, requires daily consumption. Hence, payment for it must be continuously repeated at rather short intervals in order that he may be able to repeat acts labour power to money to commodity, or commodity to money to commodity, repeat the purchases needed for his self-preservation. For this reason, the capitalist must always meet the wage labourer in the capacity of a money capitalist, and his capital as money capital. On the other hand, if the wage labourers, the mass of direct producers, are to perform the act labour power to money to commodity, they must constantly be faced with the necessary means of subsistence in purchasable form, that is, in the form of commodities. This state of affairs necessitates a high degree of development of the circulation of products in the form of commodities, hence also of the volume of commodities produced. When production by means of wage labour becomes universal, commodity production is bound to be the general form of production. This mode of production, once it is assumed to be general, carries in its wake an ever-increasing division of social labour, that is to say, an ever-growing differentiation of the articles which are produced in the form of commodities by a definite capitalist, ever-greater division of complementary processes of production into independent processes. Money to means of production, therefore, develops to the same extent as money to labour power does, That is to say, the production of means of production is divorced to that extent from the production of commodities whose means of production they are, and the latter then stand opposed to every producer of commodities which he does not produce but buys for his particular process of production. They come from branches of production which, operated independently, are entirely divorced from his own, enter into his own branch as commodities, and must therefore be bought. The material conditions of commodity production face him more and more as products of other commodity producers, as commodities. And to the same extent, the capitalist must assume the role of money capitalist. In other words, there is an increase in the scale on which his capital must assume the functions of money capital. On the other hand, the same conditions which give rise to the basic condition of capitalist production, the existence of a class of wage workers, facilitate the transition of all commodity production to capitalist commodity production. As capitalist production develops, it has a disintegrating, resolvent effect on all older forms of production, which, designed mostly to meet the direct needs of the producer, transform only the excess produced into commodities. Capitalist production makes the sale of products the main interest, at first apparently without affecting the mode of production itself. Such was, for instance, the first effect of capitalist world commerce on such nations as the Chinese, Indians, Arabs, etc. But secondly, wherever it takes root, capitalist production destroys all forms of commodity production which are based either on the self-employment of the producers or merely on the sale of the excess product as commodities. Capitalist production first makes the production of commodities general, and then, by degrees, transforms all commodity production into capitalist commodity production. Whatever the social form of production, laborers and means of production always remain factors of it. But in a state of separation from each other, either of these factors can be such only potentially. For production to go on at all, they must unite. The specific manner in which this union is accomplished distinguishes the different economic epochs of the structure of society from one another. In the present case, the separation of the free worker from his means of production is the starting point given, and we have seen how and under what conditions these two elements are united in the hands of the capitalist, namely, as the productive mode of existence of his capital. The actual process which the personal and material creators of commodities enter upon when thus brought together, the process of production, becomes therefore itself a function of capital, the capitalist process of production, the nature of which has been fully analysed in Volume 1 of this work. Every enterprise engaged in commodity production becomes at the same time an enterprise exploiting labour power. But only the capitalist production of commodities has become an epoch-making mode of exploitation, which, in the course of its historical development, revolutionises through the organisation of the labour process and the enormous improvement of technique, the entire structure of society, in a manner eclipsing all former epochs. The means of production and labour power, insofar as they are forms of existence of advanced capital value, are distinguished by the different roles assumed by them during the process of production in the creation of value, hence also of surplus value, into constant and variable capital. Being different components of productive capital, they are furthermore distinguished by the fact that the means of production in the possession of the capitalist remain his capital even outside of the process of production, while labour power becomes the form of existence of an individual capital only within this process. whereas labour power is a commodity only in the hands of its seller, the wage labourer, it becomes capital only in the hands of its buyer, the capitalist, who acquires the temporary use of it. The means of production do not become the material forms of productive capital or productive capital until labour power, the personal form of existence of productive capital, is capable of being embodied in them. Human labour power is by nature no more capital than are the means of production. They acquire this specific social character only under definite, historically developed conditions, just as only under such conditions the character of money is stamped upon precious metals, or that of money capital upon money. Productive capital, in performing its functions, consumes its own component parts for the purpose of transforming them into a mass of products of a higher value. Since labour power acts merely as one of its organs, the excess of the product's value engendered by its surplus labour over and above the value of productive capital's constituent elements is also the fruit of capital. The surplus labour of labour power is the gratuitous labour performed for capital and thus forms surplus value for the capitalist, a value which costs him no equivalent return. The product is therefore not only a commodity, but a commodity pregnant with surplus value. Its value is equal to the value of the productive capital consumed in the production of the commodity, plus the surplus values created by it. Let us assume that this commodity consists of 10,000 pounds of yarn, and that means of production worth 372 pounds and labour power worth 50 pounds were consumed in the fabrication of this quantity of yarn. During the process of spinning, the spinners transmitted to the yarn the value of the means of production consumed by their labour, amounting to 372 pounds, and at the same time they created, in proportion with the labour power expended by them, new value to the amount of, say, 128 pounds. The 10,000 pounds of yarn, therefore, represent a value of 500 pounds.